motivates you guys as a business to keep the doors open? And basically, what's your guys' purpose?
Oh, gosh. That's a tough one. I think that one of the things that motivates us as a business is our community. We are lucky and blessed to be in an area where we've been very supported, with our craft beer community, with the craft beer industry in general. We love being able to give back. We love being able to, you know, just come to work every morning and know that we're going to make a fabulous product, and we're going to have great people come in and enjoy it, and we're going to be able to give back to somebody else while we're doing that.
That's awesome. So the next one is kind of a little bit more lighthearted than that heavy question. So what are some interesting facts about your business that most people in Mansfield and surrounding areas don't know?
Ooh, facts that they don't know. So we have a ghost. But I think a lot of people actually know that already. But we like to call our ghost Charles. He's been with us from the very beginning. Something else that they don't know, we took a very slow approach to growth, but we grew a lot faster than what we were expecting. When we opened, we had 2 fermenters, a brew house, and 2 bright tanks. And now we have a lot more than that. We have 2 brew systems, we have a 25,000 square foot warehouse, and we have just the best staff that I think anybody could ask for. We have just truly the best staff. So,
could you tell me a little bit about the brewing process and like how you guys come up with names and flavors and just different facts about brewing?
Okay.
General?
I could go on and on about the brewing process. I really could go on and on about the brewing process. But, you know, we try to brew beers that we think people would like and enjoy. We try to have some creativity with what the ingredients are. We're working with staff right now because of our 9th anniversary coming up. We have to finalize our staff created beer in the next week. We have to finalize the recipe and finalize the ingredients list. And I can't really say much about that yet because it's kind of top secret. But we just have a lot of fun with picking out styles that are changing and things that are kind of emerging in the market without just sticking to one particular style. We like our tap list to have something for everyone. So what's really nice about it is that we try to have a wide variety of beer styles. Some of our beer names are based on local legends. Some of our beer names are based on the mortuary industry. We try to have a lot of fun with those, and the same thing with our design, with the labels, with, you know, everything that we do. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek. Probably one of my favorite beers that we have is The Undertaker, Orange Eyes, which is a pumpkin ale. And if you've heard the legend of Orange Eyes before, it's the monster over at Charles Mill Lake. He had big orange glowing eyes. However, the actual monster was someone who had put some headlights on a board and would light it up when people would come near his property, which is a lot of fun. So, yeah.
Awesome. So, is there anything else that you guys would like to add or let the public know, or any upcoming events or anything like that?
We're excited because with St. Patrick's Day coming up, we have 2 weekends full of great bands, great food trucks, specialty beers like our EB's Dry Irish Stout. Our new Orangitanga is an orange pale ale. We'll have specialty cocktails, Bloody Marys. We have different hours for the next for that St. Patrick's Day. And then what we're really most excited about is being able to celebrate our community and our staff and just craft beer in general in April at our 9th anniversary.
Anything special coming up for Final Fridays or anything like that?
Final Fridays are always a lot of fun, and they're always packed and busy. We don't actually run the Final Fridays. That's Downtown Mansfield, but we just try to have, you know, some great offering something that everybody would like. I think that this year, one of the beers that's going to be most popular in our tap room on a final Friday is going to be the Fledgling, which is a table beer. It's only 2.5%. It's light. It's refreshing. It still has a nice crisp profile, a nice little hop bite to it. But yeah, it's pretty enjoyable. I can't think of any questions. You can find all of the information about our upcoming events and information online at Facebook, or if you go to our website, go to phoenixbrewing.com/events, and you can find out more information about everything that's going on at the Phoenix right there.
Awesome.
So, enough sound with the mic.
Yep. These mics are super sensitive, so they'll pick up everything.
Okay.
Like, I had my president was wearing one, and I could hear him breathing.
Yeah.
In between.
That was my fear.
And I was like,
that's actually my fear right now.
Oh no, he's a mouth breather. He's really kind of obnoxious to film with, but it's okay.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much.
life. And don't get me wrong, I'm not the guy that's like going to condemn anybody for anything. Actually, the Toby Keith interview, God rest Toby Keith, he was talking about his favorite Bible verse, and it's John 3:16, because whoever believes in him shall never perish. It's not whoever believes in him and didn't have premarital sex, or whoever believes in him didn't have a baby out of wedlock. It has nothing to do with the other stuff but belief, and it's our job as Christians to love on people in that fashion. And that's the way that I've always taken my Christianity. I just want to love on folks, and it frustrates me when other Christians want to put other Christians down for having a baby young or, you know, whatever. It's not our job.
Right.
It's not our job. It's our job to love, right? So, anyways, didn't mean to get on my soapbox there about Christ, but I hinted it, and I'm like, man, I gotta harp on that. So, but I do appreciate that.
For men to say or to come out with it,
like, yes,
to be strong about it, because you know, there's leaders and followers, and the followers are never gonna get where they need to be if the leaders don't lead.
Yes, so you have to lead properly. Got time? Mm-hmm. Cool. Sorry.
Hands off for a second.
Yeah, you can take a drink real quick or whatever you gotta do. Take a breath.
Breath.
Just
yeah.
Pause it for a second, Jen.
Okay, it wasn't quite as bad. I don't have to look right at it.
No! The three-camera setup is better because you can look at it if you want to. Or we can... It makes it nicer, too. So, like, if you're in the middle of it, you can take a drink, like, while I'm talking. And then you know the camera's not on you.
Not,
yeah,
you can still do that. I can edit it to where
it's
not always going to be on you.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it'll be on just
They should. I got a friend who does one, and he chews the Zins, and at the end of, I was on just on his podcast, at the end of all his podcasts, he goes, Zin, they don't sponsor me, but they should. It's funny. So, but other than that, we'll just continue the conversation. I think I know where we were at. We were at a stopping point anyways in the conversation, so, cool. So, we're really going on some really good topics here. I mean, genuinely, and that's what I love about these conversations, like, there's no clear path. Like, we don't have to come on here. And I want you to be able to promote what you're doing. But more than that, I want to dig in on who you are. That being said, this is always like the question that nobody likes to answer. And I'm going to make you answer it. But so, like, what is the big thing that you're working on right now? Not just not in the business, but like, it can be. If that's like the big thing, like, just a couple examples, like Evan was just on there, just overhauling some processes, and that's something he's really focused in on. He's got the family life, you know, on auto, if you will, and all that good stuff.
His wife is awesome. Have you met her?
I haven't yet. I told him so we need funny. To go to dinner sometime, yeah. And all that good stuff. I did see in the show notes, you know, there's the kind of like my buddy Hunter Blue says there's like six areas to our life, but one of those is health and fitness. I saw that you're working on becoming vegan. Is that right?
Oh, yes. Yes. Plant-based, different than vegan.
Okay. Can you kind of give me the rundown on that? Because I'm not, I love my meat.
So there's a regular yeah. diet, and I love meat too. It's not because I don't love it. it's because it's not.
Yeah, it's not probably not the best for me. I understand.
And it's the way they're, the agriculture, the way that they're doing it. Like,
okay.
If you watch any of those, when they zoom up on those feedlots.
Oh yeah, it's a mess.
I don't, you know, on the picture, it's got this cute little farm and a happy cow and. Yeah. That is not what we're eating.
Yeah, I understand.
And a lot of it isn't even from here. I didn't know that. That was a recent.
Yeah.
What I found.
We try to buy local. Like, we just bought a half cow from somebody local.
See,
and
that's not as bad.
Yeah. So, because it said 90, you wanted to be like 90% vegan, or was that Matt?
90% plant-based.
Or plant-based. I'm sorry. Oh, okay.
And I say 90% because my favorite meats are the worst ones.
Oh, really?
Hot dogs, burgers,
really?
Pepperoni,
yep.
Bacon.
Oh, bacon. I couldn't live without bacon. That's like...
Even bacon grease makes yeah. things better.
Even if I could, like, get my head around, and I'm not knocking for you, like, kudos to you for, like, having a strong stance on that, but, like, I just love my steak way too much, and, like, but okay. The bacon is, like, I'm like, yeah, nope. Like, I draw the line at bacon. I'm 100% there with you, you know.
So there's the whole thing, and then, like, vegetarian, which is where I'm trying to get now. You still have dairy.
So okay.
You still have eggs, milk, and cheese. And again, 90%. I have tried all of that plant-based stuff in my coffee.
Just doesn't
Nothing
do it for
works
you.
Looks like half and half. Doesn't taste the same.
So what about like a pescatarian diet, like fish? Or is that just not...
I've never liked fish.
Okay,
so
okay.
Easy.
Yeah. Well, I just didn't know because, I mean, obviously from a sustainability standpoint, as far as like what our bodies are supposed to have, I feel like that's something that... you can't really screw up, dude. You know what I mean? Like,
it's where the fish come from.
Correct.
Again, like, if you're out, I don't know what the situation with Lake Erie is these days. I'm old enough to remember when it was on fire.
Yeah. I think they've cleaned it up quite a bit. Yeah,
it's a lot better now. And I have had a couple, like, I cook a lot. So we have a place up at Bay Point, a campground up in Marblehead.
Yep.
And they do fish fries and stuff. And I enjoy cooking. That's my true love language. So I will cook it all, and I have to taste it because I have to make sure it's seasoned right. So I do know that it tastes good when it comes out of there. It's just, I've just kind of had a deal with aquatic life since I was young. I got like a fear of the water. Like, I won't eat you if you don't eat me.
Yeah. Like, so, we can, like, be friends.
I'll nibble something for taste. Like, if you have to nibble my toe, okay. Just so we can karmically be even. I don't know.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Terrified.
So that's super interesting. I remember that as I was asking that question, so I wanted to make sure we hinted on it.
Vegan does the fake meat.
Okay.
So plant-based doesn't do any of that fake stuff.
Yeah, and I feel like the fake meat is probably worse for you than the, because we don't even know what the hell it's going to do. You know what I mean?
But I don't know what's in that either. And
yeah, I agree with you. Like, and we try to do, not like the true organic stuff or anything like that, but we just try to be a little bit more conscious on like where our stuff's coming from.
That's the real reason.
Yeah.
Because if it comes from that farm where that cow was happy his whole life,
it's going to taste better. Different. It's going to taste better.
Stress, like how in us, stress releases certain hormones. Say you're the cow in line behind the one getting killed in front of you. What is going on in that cow's body?
Yeah.
It's dumping all of that cortisol and all that stuff that's bad for us, and then we eat it.
Yeah. So, no, I agree.
Happy cow's okay.
Yeah, cool. All right, so we're on the same page there. What is your BHAG right now? Like, your big hairy audacious goal? Because your BHAG, your big hairy audacious goal. You never heard that?
No.
So big hairy audacious goal. Like, what's the big thing that you're working on in your life right now that's like super important to you?
That in a way is because the reasons that I'm doing it aren't just because I don't want to eat meat. It's because what we're doing to our planet.
Okay.
I'm not a total tree hugger all that, but I think if each of us can do something small, because all of us have to do something, we're killing our planet.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe it's time for Armageddon, and this was God's way of just letting us do it ourselves. I don't know. I won't guess his plans, but that's part of it. But really, I want to get to a place where I can help other people. And that is kind of what the business, when we moved up to that area, because Matt's from here, and I'm from Loudonville.
Oh, really?
So when we moved
You're
up
a Redbird. I was a Falcon. Yeah. I graduated from Hillsdale.
Oh,
did you? Yeah, I really did. So, yeah.
My ex-husband works there.
We'll talk off camera. Anyways.
Oh, no. He's good.
I'm just messing with you.
He's just wearing a good fit. But what was I saying? Getting to a financial place. When we moved up there, the money's totally different.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
I saw the same thing, because I'm from Mansfield originally, and then when we moved to Sandusky, I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah,
like, this different. Is, yeah.
And the people up there are happy.
Yeah. I'm like, you guys don't. And I think living in this area, or growing up in this area especially, like, it's entirely, it's a slower way of life, right? Like, it's just, like, everybody's like, you can pay people that to work in your office, and I'm like, yeah, like, it's a good living. It's we're spoiled, because like when we go to open up other markets, we're like, oh crap, we got to pay people this, you know. Yeah, but so I'm gonna lean on you a little bit I'm just gonna ask one question, and I want you to give me one sentence when I ask it. Okay. I'm going to ask it over and over again. It might feel redundant.
Sorry, you used to asking a woman a question that they only can answer with one sentence.
It's hard. It's going to be hard for you. But there's a reason behind it, and I'll explain it at the end. This is kind of like, this is why the podcast is named what it's named, okay? So I heard that you are, I'm going to give a synopsis real quick. I heard that you're super passionate about doing the vegan, or the vegetarian thing, or the plant-based thing. Okay, I'm going to name it right. Because you are super... you want to make your impact on the planet. Why is that important to you?
It's setting an example. I can't, you know, we all complain about, I don't know if global warming is, I think that was where they screwed up. They should have just said climate change from the beginning.
Yeah, because
it's still cold.
Yeah, well, the Earth naturally has a climate change anyway, so that's where it gets skewed, right?
Yeah.
So
just kind of setting an example of it can be done and try, because I cook for a lot of people, especially in the summer, I want to get some recipes because you're like, oh, well, that means salads all the time. It doesn't.
No.
Because you know your meat doesn't taste like anything until you season it either. So it's seasoning something else. So if I could come up with stuff that's good, that people are like, oh, this tastes so good, and you don't miss the meat,
yeah,
then you'll think it's possible. Because people are just like, oh, well, I'm going to have to just eat side dishes forever. Or I don't like mushrooms because that's kind of the meat of the plant-based world.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like that. Or well, I won't like any of that. Well, that's my food's food. I get that. I hear all of that. I think I used to say a few of those things.
I say it all that way. Yeah. So I'm interested to see what kind of an example you set.
Yeah, that it can taste good. But my another, like that was not one sentence.
I was waiting for you to catch. All right. We're going to continue with the exercise, okay?
Okay.
It's an exercise. I promise. Okay. I promise.
All right.
Why is it important to you to set an example?
Because I didn't have one. I realize how important it is. It was a comma. That was one sentence.
No. I'm not going to pressure you. That was the shortest one sentence we've had on this conversation yet.
That was a struggle.
I'm proud of you.
Really?
Why is that significant to you?
Seeing examples.
Why is it significant to you that you realized that you didn't have an example, so you want to set one?
I made so many mistakes. Now, this is like not a thing that matters as far as like...
It matters. Really. It matters.
But...
You're saying it, so it matters.
I stumbled through so many things in life without an example. That this may not be that important. But it's something. If someone can show you how to do something right, it makes it seem easier to do. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. And I wanna make sure that I make a point here to thank you, and I'm gonna love on you a little bit. I know we haven't, you know, I'm a big love guy. Like, I'm a big hug guy. You're selling yourself short by thinking that what you're doing is not a big deal. And I want to tell you that everything you're doing is a big deal. From waking up in the morning to whatever you decide to do with your life, whether it's go plant-based or I did remember in the show notes, it says I'm assuming it was something related to financial independence. Was your finance thing?
Yeah.
That's an example. And you are doing so much better than the people who gave you no example already. So don't sell yourself short. Love on yourself and be proud of where you're at because you deserve it. And
I'm thrilled with where I'm at. I am truly right now living my best life.
I know you are.
So
that's why I don't want you to think that anything that you're doing isn't significant. Nothing... And that's why you had, I mean, you know how many people don't have the guts to come on and just talk? Like, my team might think I'm like a hard guy because I do these exercises all over the country and I come in and do it with these guys and stuff like that. And it's not that, but it's because I want to prove that there's a bigger purpose to you. And if without a purpose, we don't have a reason to wake up in the morning and do, you know, I'm sure there were probably times, because I had times in my life when I didn't want my feet to hit the floor.
Oh, been there.
Yeah, but
more times than I want to admit.
Yeah, so you're giving you're a beacon and a shining light, and this is probably one of the, like, you changed the room a little bit when you walked in. You were brighter when you walked in the room, and I'm looking at Jen behind the camera because not that Kevin and Evan, the two guys we've had in the last 2 weeks, weren't. I mean, they've really good podcasts in their own right, but like, you want to make an impact, and you are. And I want to make sure that someone's telling you that, and I want to tell you that I'm very proud of you for doing that.
Oh, thank you. That was very nice.
So, the point of that exercise, just so you're aware, it is called the why exercise, and it boils it down. So, like, you're working on something it's big to you, right? Because it's a massive change in your life. The reason, in your health, yeah. The reason why you're doing it is much bigger than you just want to prove to yourself that you can do it or that you want to set an example. It's because you didn't have that example. And if we had unlocked those pieces of our mind, now you have such a bigger purpose to do it. And that's why it's called the why. What is your purpose? Like, and I don't do that with everybody on every episode, but I saw an opportunity and I wanted to make sure that we addressed it, if that's fair. And like I said, I don't ever like to put anybody on the spot, but like, I want you to go home with a little tidbit if that's fair. So,
and the financial independence to be able to volunteer in places that I know need it.
Yeah.
And
you have a big heart. Like, I can sense that.
Sandra Reyes would be a good person because, like, I'm learning from her. She's kind of my,
mentor?
Yeah. Like, almost mom-like. You know, yeah. like we're closer in age than that, so it's not like that. But she'll see it and be like, I'm not older. No. My older sister, that's what she calls me.
There you go.
Sister. So she is so well-connected. And she does so much volunteer work, and I've gotten to do some through her. So, like, she does these things through the Christmas where, it actually happens at Thanksgiving. In Meijer, they have something set up, and you go in, and kids that can't afford, you know, the parents aren't able to get them things.
The Angel Tree, is that what it's called? Toys
for kids.
Okay.
And then you go around with this child.
Okay.
And they give you a certain amount, and they get to pick out whatever they want. And, you know, she'd been asking me to do it forever. I always wanted to, but I get nervous. Like, I'm not so good in social things. It's a struggle for me. I'm working on it.
Yeah, I can tell, and you're doing great.
But that was so, what I got out of that was so unexpected. Like, yeah. I knew that it was helping. I knew I was doing something I should. What you never see coming is what it does for you.
Yeah.
Like, I had so much fun with those kids. Going around and helping them pick out stuff. And when she gave me a girl, I was so nervous because my daughter shopping and I...
Don't get along.
Oh, my goodness. She would drive me insane. But we have very different styles.
Yeah.
So I'm more girly than she is. So I get this little girl, and so I have to be so careful not to be like, look at this.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's this stuff. And we like the same stuff. And then it was just
awesome. Worked, yeah. It's weird how God works like that, isn't it?
And it was just so fulfilling.
Yeah.
And it's addictive, that feeling. And you know you're doing something good, but the feeling you get is addictive. So I felt a little selfish.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I knew I was doing something good. And you get that.
Do you struggle? I've heard you say it a few times. Do you struggle with being selfish? Because of, I mean, I'm assuming it's because you were a great mom and wanted to make sure your kids had the best thing. No, genuinely, I think you were. I think you provided everything your kids needed. You struggle with that, don't you?
I struggle with all kind of stuff.
We all do.
Like, yeah.
I tell everybody all the time, your shit's not special. Like, I'm just, it isn't. Like, we all go through stuff. But, you know, with that being said, I think that...
I never want to be selfish.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was getting at. Like, you struggle with, like, you're... Because it is, like,
I struggle with getting walked on because I try too hard. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's hard for you to want to stand up for yourself or to take. I do that.
I can stand up for myself when it's
The taking is the big thing. I do the same thing.
That was a learned skill too.
Yeah, it is. Well, like, we adopted 20 kids last year for Christmas. Same thing.
No.
We do.
That's why you need 10,000
squares. Yeah, yeah. The Richland County Children's Auxiliary. We do every year. We adopt every team member gets a kid, and we do the same thing. And it's amazing, like, to see these guys. You've got grown men who work in the trades. They come back and they're like, "I bought this little girl this, this, and this. This is so cute." And like, it's crazy. Like, and it's always. I tell folks all the time, like, well. I'll take that back. I wanted to make sure I hinted on. Dave Ramsey says that you're never going to get to the end of your life and regret being too generous. So, right. Like, don't ever, like, if you have the opportunity to be generous, like, God blessed us with his money, be good stewards of it. That's where my entire viewpoint
is.
That's
where, like, with as we've done better, it's just like you see the blessing.
Yes. And continue to bless.
Yeah.
Just pass it on.
Don't give back.
No.
Like, you feel bad.
Yeah, you should.
Know, like, yeah, we did the work. But some of what came our way can only be described as a blessing.
Yes.
Like, there was no reason for me to meet these people. That happened. Like, there was just things.
There's fate's real, or destiny, if you want to call it that, right? But, yeah, it's just, like, it's cool that you, like, I'm assuming next year you're going to adopt more kids. I say the adopt, like, adopt a shop or whatever and do that. And I'm,
I want to do more.
Yeah.
Like, just, that's not just enough.
Yeah, and it's, like you said, that like, you feel, I always tell people, like, in this interview, I hope you're getting something from it, but, like, I want to get more from you than I can give to you, type of thing. And it never works that way. Like, we both fill each other's cup up if we're doing it right. But, like, it works like that when you were shopping for that little girl. Like, she's getting a Christmas that she never could have had prior, right? And you're getting fulfillment in knowing that you were able to provide something that I wish, or I hope that if I were ever in that circumstance, God forbid that my wife and I couldn't financially afford it, that there would be that person for us, you know? Just like we've adopted, or I keep saying the word adopt, but we call them part of the family. We've adopted two veterans and taken their roofs on as a burden because they couldn't afford it. But we don't do those things. I don't do those things to promote my business.
Right.
I do those things because I have an opportunity to help and I have a skill set that allows me to serve. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think you're doing the same thing. And I think we have a common interest there. So the selfishness of it is hard, though. Like, I appreciate that you said that because it is. It's like, man, I'm getting so much from this moment. Like, I was over in Africa. I served in Africa this past year in Uganda. If you ever get the opportunity, like, genuinely, take it. My wife found out she was pregnant while we were there. And I remember I was like, all right, God, like, I'm going to pray for these people. Give me whoever needs to come to me. And the little kids. And I'm like, what the frick? Like, I don't have kids. But come to find out, you know, we're pregnant and all that good stuff. So it's like, okay, now that made sense, you know. And you just realize, like, how fortunate we really are. Like, you have a little girl that comes up to you and she tells you she has malaria. And we had two guys come back and they almost died from malaria. And that's with the stuff we have here in the States,
yeah,
you know. And these little kids are, you know, and the little boy come up, and I'll never forget it. His brother's name was Thomas, and he said, hey, can you pray for my brother Thomas? They don't know what's wrong with him. And just these kids that you realize, yeah, I shouldn't be as worried about how big my TV is or how nice my truck is. Like, these people have real problems.
Dying from a fever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of a $10 pill.
Yeah.
Malaria, in the States, they overcharge for it. But over there, like they do everything else, over there, it's a $10 pill for these kids. And it would make all the difference in making sure that they get to grow up and be kids, you know? And they're still playing in the dirt over there. They're not worried about freaking iPads and all the other crap that we... And I'm not saying that the kids have it bad here or that we're ruining the world or anything. Like, it's just the world we live in. But, you know...
It's very different.
Yeah.
I am not jealous of parents raising kids now. That stuff was just starting when my kids were at that formative age where if you put a picture online and 40 people say something good and one person says something bad, that one person is all you heard.
Yep.
I can't even imagine raising kids dealing with that.
Oh,
so much more to deal with.
I pray that all my kids get put around the right people, you know, and that they have people that lift them up because it is a nasty, nasty world that we live in. It's always been nasty.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Let me retract that. The world isn't nasty. The nasty, unfortunately, just is what we see.
Yeah.
And it's like everybody wants to say like it's us versus them, but it's not. It's the way the world goes. And like if you sit down and have conversations like this, most of us are pretty stinking close, you know, and we can love on each other in that aspect. So as we kind of get to the end of the episode, I kind of like to open up the last couple minutes here. It's your floor. It's my podcast, but it's your floor. And just anything that you would like to share that, you know, maybe you had a heart to come in and share today that you didn't feel like you got the opportunity to. This opportunity is yours.
I wouldn't know what to say exactly as far as what I could share, but I really feel like you're doing a good thing, and I can see you doing good things in the future. And I know you're like, oh, these kids came to me. That's because those are the ones who need you the most.
Yeah.
Those kids that, and I don't know those children's situations, but there are so many kids in the world that did not hit the parental lottery. I am not special. I am not alone.
Yeah.
And all of the dumb things I did afterwards, when I started reading books and, you know, you could kind of get some therapy about what you went through and you realize you're a textbook. Not special in any way. I did all the dumb stuff that everybody that's been through what I've been through did.
Yeah.
And to have somebody intervene sooner, Like, I feel like they're, and I don't know, maybe there are programs like that, but that's kind of where my heart is to catch those kids while they're still young. Before you're, like, I'm still figuring it out. I just turned 53.
You don't look it, I promise. I genuinely mean that.
I'll pay you later. But to catch before you make some of the mistakes that will scar you for life. You've already been scarred as a child. To catch them at that middle school, high school place where maybe the abuse or whatever's happening isn't something they're going to drag them out of a house for, and maybe they shouldn't.
Yeah.
But some of the worst things with everything that I have been through, the worst things are the voices that play back in your head where you're not good enough. You'll never amount to anything. No one's ever going to love you. You better be good at stuff because no one's going to love you for you. All of those things that if you can change that while they're young and change that narrative to a positive, their whole lives can be changed by that. So that's kind of where my passion is. I don't have the connections to make a difference there yet, but that's my goal.
To
be in a position where I can make a difference so the kids don't have to go through what I did.
You do have the connections, because I'm actually, it's funny, and this is how God works. I'm working on something right now, specifically for Huron County, that kind of follows along those lines. I'll update it here and later. Actually, when we jump off air, I'm going to talk to you about it a little bit. But I really do want to thank you for coming on and sharing your story. I just love perspective on life, and you've given some good, and I'm like, I can't harp enough. I know you're going to do great things. Like, I can sense it. And you're really just getting started as you blossom. And that's okay. What is it? Colonel Sanders made freaking Kentucky Fried Chicken at 65. Like, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You're figuring it out nice and young and chipper. And it's God's time, not your time. The time just hasn't elapsed for it to happen. And it's elapsing right now. And I really do. I'm excited to hear about where you go here in the next few years. So that's as we wrap it up, y'all. I want to thank everybody for listening in. I want to thank Melissa for coming on and jumping on here for episode 3 of this season. And nothing else, you know, we want to continue to harp on, you know, continue your drive, continue your passion. And I want to continue to ask you, what's your why?
It's done. It's that easy. See, it's a conversation. What'd I tell you? to matter if our kids don't go to heaven?
True, yeah.
We can do whatever we want if we don't spiritually lead our kids to live a Christ-like life. And don't get me wrong, I'm not the guy that's like going to condemn anybody for anything. Actually, the Toby Keith interview, God rest Toby Keith, he was talking about his favorite Bible verse, and it's John 3:16, because whoever believes in him shall never perish. It's not whoever believes in him and didn't have premarital sex, or whoever believes in him didn't have a baby out of wedlock. It has nothing to do with the other stuff but belief, and it's our job as Christians to love on people in that fashion. And that's the way that I've always taken my Christianity. I just want to love on folks, and it frustrates me when other Christians want to put other Christians down for having a baby young or, you know, whatever. It's not our job.
Right.
It's not our job. It's our job's to love, right? So, anyways, didn't mean to get on my soapbox there about Christ, but I hinted it, and I'm like, man, I gotta harp on that. So, but I do appreciate
it. It takes more
that.
Men to say, or to come out with it, like to be strong about it, because there's leaders and followers, and the followers are never gonna get where they need to be if the leaders don't lead.
Yes,
so
you have to lead properly. Got time.
So it's off for a second?
Yeah, you can take a drink. You got to do take a breath.
Breath, yeah. Okay, it wasn't quite as bad. I don't have to look right at it. So.
No. The three-camera setup is better because you can look at it if you want to. Or we can – it makes it nicer, too. So, like, if you're in the middle of it, you can take a drink, like, while I'm talking, and then you know the camera's
on. Oh,
so
it's not – yeah, I got you.
If you still do that, I can edit it to where it's not always going to be on you.
Well, Coke should spot.
So,
that's important stuff.
So we're gonna do that. I'm also working with. Kevin's got me in with the. There's like a board that sits that is business owners and all of the superintendents and leaders in the Tri-County area up there. So I'm gonna sit with them, and we're gonna work on how to get with at-risk youth with stuff that actually works. Because here's the thing, like, DARE program is great, like, it sounds great, but like let's go after the shit that people actually need. And I'm not knocking that I didn't have a great childhood. Like, my parents were divorced, so there was that dynamic. But like, my parents were present; they're obviously still around today, so that's good. But like, we need people like you to be coaches, to be able to touch the kids that, you know. All right, sir, because your test is part of your testimony, and you have an opportunity to serve in that aspect alone, right? So anything, and I
have experience with addiction and domestic violence. So I'm about the least judgmental person you'll ever meet, because life and bad decisions took me down some holes I never thought I'd see. So I do well in those areas. Too, like if someone's afraid to talk about something.
Sorry. The domain host, the AMRteam.org, you have access to.
I own it, yes.
Because the guy's asking me, there's something about Mark. Gabby has something still forwarded from our office, and I'm not getting the emails, and I'm on chat with somebody. I'm trying to fix it. He asked if I have access.
And here's wrestling. Right before they built a new building, I had to give it up to come focus
you
on this.
You just turned 30? And you've coached for 11 years? Well, you've
right out of high school.
Busy.
Yeah, right out of high school. I mean,
really? I thought you had to be older to do that. I didn't
know. No.
I'm not sporty, so I don't know anything.
No,
about
they
sports.
Let me. I coached junior high, 18, 19 years old. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you've been working with kids for a while.
Yeah. But that was the beauty with wrestling. Like, if you started piping off to me, I'd just wrestle you and kick the crap out of you, and at least got it out, right?
Point.
So that's what I enjoyed about coaching wrestling. But it got to the point where I had to focus on the business rather than focus on all the other crap. So, it's good. I don't know if I'd coach again. It just takes so much of your life. And it's not that I wasn't passionate about it. The problem is when I go in on something, I can't do it half-assed.
Yep.
You know, so it's, I gotta go all, it's all or nothing for me, and that's how we do it. But if there's anything I can ever help you guys out with in business, and even if you guys just want to grab dinner sometime, let me know.
So did I hear you say you live in Sandusky?
We live in Norwalk.
Live in Norwalk.
Yeah, we live right off of Gallup, which is...
I know, I've seen that sign.
So you're going to go right by it on your way home, like where KFC is in Norwalk.
I
Walmart
have a
Walmart
back
is.
Way out not to go through Norwalk at all.
You go up 61.
13, is it 250?
Up by the racetrack.
Yes.
Yeah, that's 601, I think it is what it is. Or 61, yeah. One of those two.
It's the, a yeah, little back.
Yeah. Do you know where the Walmart is?
Yes.
We live like 2 minutes from Walmart, so.
I know where that's at because Sherwin-Williams is.
Yep, Sherwin-Williams is.